The Holy Word, according to the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, and chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard than I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. We continue reading on page 558, starting under the heading, The Peaceful Kingdom. Let's read verses 1 through 5 together. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The Holy Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
The kids are welcome to come up as we sing Step by Step and have some children's time, and then we'll go to Sunday school with Pastor Nate. So let's sing. Come on, all the way up here. I have something to show you. Oh, God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh, come on, all the way up here. This is exactly how I felt yesterday. Yeah, you're welcome to stay here. So yesterday, we had a road trip way up to the Canadian border. Do you want to come with me, buddy? Do you want to snuggle? Come here. Come here. I know, this is how I felt. You're perfect. Okay, and if you want to go back with your mom, it's okay too. So we had a big car trip, and on the way, my husband packed some snacks. Do you have snacks sometimes in the car? Yep. Do you want to open this to see what snack we had? Can anyone open that for me? Can you see through? Uh-huh. It was grapes. Grapes. Oh, I think, yeah. There we go. And here are the last of the grapes. Would anyone want to eat any of those? Why? They look yucky. Do they look yucky?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've seen better days, these grapes. Some are smashed. Some have big black marks on them. Oh, and my kids are like, I'm not going to eat those. Mom, these are for you. I'm like, oh, yeah, thanks. End of the grapes smashed up there, huh? Some of them don't look too bad. But today in our scripture story, we hear about some grapes. And God planted these grapes thinking they're going to be big and juicy and yummy in our tummy. Hmm? And guess what the grapes turned out to be like? Gross. Yucky. Wild grapes, they said. Sometimes if you had a real sour grape and you're like, whoa, have you had one of those? Yeah, sometimes those grapes surprise us. We're expecting a nice, juicy grape, and we get a wild, sour grape sometimes. And God says sometimes that's like we, like that's who we are. Sometimes we are just really good and nice and kind, and sometimes we can be sour and crabby and mushy and gross, too. Blah. I know. And so God says, look, my friends, I love you. I love you. And I want you to be the best you can be. I want you to taste like a good grape in my vineyard so that all people may know of God's love. And so that's what you're going to hear a little bit more about in Sunday school and how God finds a way to help us be the very best by sending us Jesus. So those who are going to go to Sunday school are going to hear that story. Oh, yes, something? No? You hold that thought. Pastor Nate will want to hear it. And let's say a little prayer. Can you pray after me? Okay, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for good fruit. And helping us be good fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's kids said, amen. Okay, friends, you can go with Pastor Nate if you're in Sunday school. And the rest, there's some coloring sheets. If you want to have some coloring sheets, you can do that. And thanks, pal. Thank you. There she is. Okay, Webb, do you know where you're heading? Coloring sheets are right over here, and the crayons are right over here. Webb, do you want a coloring sheet? Yeah, come on over. Here they are. Can you help get Webb some of them, too? Okay, perfect. All right. In the presence of the Holy Spirit, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Just want to see a raise of hands. How many people have plans for this afternoon? You have plans? Yeah. Knew I was in good company with all these planners. Anyone have plans for this week? Kind of looked ahead. You have a few plans, things on your schedule? Yep. Anyone have plans for the holidays already? Got that figured out? Oh my gosh, I am feeling comfortable at home here. Okay. Planners. Many of us are. Somebody in the family system is a planner. Maybe not everybody, because that could cause problems too. But we love to make plans, don't we? We love to make plans. We love plans big, big picture. And we love plans for just the next hour. We love to know what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. And sometimes us planners make a plan A, do you do this? And then a plan B just in case. Because there's some variables that could happen, right, in the day. And maybe even some of us make a plan C. We don't talk about it, but we got it right here, right? Just in case something happens. But rarely do we plan to handle the unexpected. I mean, that's why we plan, because we don't like the unexpected, right? We like to stay in charge. We plan for things to go a certain way. But sometimes what we expect doesn't happen. I mean, not even close. A few weeks ago, I ran into a woman who was able to share with me a little bit of her life story. And she told this beautiful love story of marrying her high school sweetheart. And they got married young and got pregnant early. And they were really excited. And you know what those 9 months of pregnancy look like? So much planning, right? Planning rooms in the house, planning for stuff. Planning names, planning where they're going to go to college, you know, like all these things, right? And so 9 months as this baby grows in the womb of the mother, all this planning happens. And she went on to tell me that when it came time to give birth, she almost died in the birthing process. And when she was coming out of her own recovery, discovered that her firstborn daughter had Down syndrome. It's not what she planned for. A special needs child in a small rural town where there weren't very many resources. She was desperate She was trying to heal herself, and they weren't ready. They weren't ready for a life with a special needs child. And at the heart of the emotion, even when she was telling me this many, many, many years ago, this happened, all of the grief that was tied up into that is like not having our plans come true. This was not what was expected, and now what? Lingered in the air. And it reminded me of the story today from Isaiah. God planned and expected one thing. God created the universe out of deep love for God's creation and in hopes of having a relationship be fruitful, loving, deep, abiding relationship with creation. And God got a very different outcome. Instead of faithfulness from God's creation, partnership, mutual adoration, and love, God received unfaithfulness. Just the opposite of what God planned for. And God was kind of taken aback by this, and Isaiah 5 likens it to a love song. It's like a good country song. Here we are in this vineyard, and the plan was to produce grapes. Wonderful grapes, life-giving, abundant grapes. Grapes enough to share with everyone, make into wine and enjoy. But instead, as Lenore read for us, the grapes grew wild. They were wild, unusable, produced no life-giving response to the one who planted them, who created them. But of course, this is not new to our story. Even as we've gone back to Genesis when we started this narrative lectionary, this great God story, right after God created the universe, Adam and Eve sin and fall short of God's expectations. And then we heard about Noah and God's people sin and fall short of God's expectations. And then we get to Moses and the people sin and fall short of God's expectations. Last week in Hosea, the northern kingdom, God's people sin and fall short of God's expectation. And again here in Isaiah, the southern kingdom, God's people fall short of God's expectations in the 8th century. And is it probably safe to say today that we again, as Pastor Jeremiah said, fall into that one requirement of being sinful? Unfaithful? I think there's enough sin and shame and brokenness going around that we too could say we fall short of God's expectations for us today. God expected one thing and experiences a different reality. And now what? You and I know the feeling of being those wild grapes, feeling our independence and our freedom. I mean, we remember the first time we didn't follow the rules, as Pastor Jeremiah shared with us last time, kind of the exhilaration of being free and also the embarrassment of not doing what was expected of us. And we today in our culture have a tendency to blame God for our unfortunate times when Or we run from God when we're embarrassed by a mistake that God must be waving his head in disbelief. I mean, whole communities make mistakes. Churches make mistakes, and we hear that people don't want to be part of a messed up, organized religion. And the divide in our relationship with our Creator gets wider and wider. And we're not perfect people sitting around here. We gather because we need a Savior. And we open up God's Word week after week to hear the great story, the great narrative of how God wants to relate to God's people. And Scripture tells us one common theme, that there is a God who created you, who loves you, who wants to be in a deep, abiding relationship with you, who is the giver of all good things, a sustainer, a provider. And Scripture is very clear also that we are beloved children of God, made in God's image. but who left to our own devices, we can become like wild grapes who are in need of some pruning. So today we pause and think about what needs to be pruned out of our own branches. For some of you, the pruning may need to be in your self-image. Who are you? Do you claim your identity as Christ above all other identities? Or does that other self-image need to be pruned? For some, it's our attitudes. Our attitudes need to be pruned. We need to be thinking about all the blessings, giving gratitude, instead of all the things that we don't have. Or for others, pruning a mistake may be your reality today. Pruning that sin or shame that gets in the way of us fully experiencing the joy that God intends for us. For me, it comes back to being a planner. You know, with the holidays quickly approaching, and we heard Christmas music on the way home last night, I'm already feeling the frenzy of the holidays. And worry and stress begin to sneak in and rob me of the joy of the season. And it seems like, to me, the more people worry, the less we get done. It's like we're consumed with all the thoughts and the to-do lists. More stressed out, the more we worry, the more life becomes like an unruly, twisted-up vineyard of wild grapes. Instead of the intention of the holidays, joy, hope, love, abundance. I mean, in an attempt to get everything done around the holidays, we make plans, we make a list, we make schedules, giving us things to get done so that we can someday sit back and enjoy the holidays. But that's rarely how I feel. Because I value being well organized, and sometimes it distracts me from who I'm supposed to be. God's beloved child, enjoying the joy of the season. So spending time with Jesus is essential for me. Being in God's Word, seeing Christ in one another through the holiday seasons and through the season is my priority. Asking God every morning to be the center of everything I have on the to-do list. To show up in big and small ways. When I expect to see Christ in my neighbors, when I expect to see Christ in my work, I feel the joy of the season all year round. So the pruning I regularly need to go through is giving away the control, the plans, the expectations in my vineyard, in my branches, so that I may continue to grow into being more Christ-like. The mother who shared with me her life story went on to say, as her daughter grew and now is in her adult years, the holidays were the most special time for her. Not because of the hustle and the bustle of the holidays, but this young, special needs, Down syndrome, beloved child of God truly could lean into the joy of the season. She made handmade gifts, wrote handmade notes, and she passed them along to everyone she knew. She truly lived in the joy of the season, being thankful and grateful and showing love. Their daughter, they learned life lessons about who God is and who they were as beloved children of God, made in God's image. She said the transformation came over the years, that God sees their daughter through the lens of being a beloved child of God, not a special needs child. And they started to grow in that too. She gifted them with a different lens of life that helped them, their whole family, live in a more abundant place in this world. She spoke about God's transformation, God's renewal, God's new sight, understanding how God connects us and how God leads us. We often feel like we have to be in control with the big and the small things instead of allowing God to be in control of our everyday lives. But I've discovered unless I abide in Christ and let him show me the way, we continue to be busy, and I probably taste and smell more like a wild grape than a fruitful one. The more time I spend with Jesus, the better my life is. That is why I come to church. That is why I read scripture. That is why I continue to be in God's word. I yearn to experience the fullness of God's kingdom, of God's joy, of God's love and peace and hope for me and for all creation. And when I allow God to prune my grapevine, I'm confident that I grow closer to him. So may we, as we go from this place, be good fruit, bear good fruit, enjoy the season the holidays bring, and continue to shine God's light and peace and joy wherever we go. May it be so.